Welcome to the PopGo Project Podcast, a platform for the discussion and discovery of arts and entertainment. We focus on highlighting people and events that add value to the world around us. Visit us on all social media platforms by searching the PopGo Project or visit our website at thepopgoproject.com. Welcome to the show and thank you so much for listening.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Keller's Garden Center and Landscaping Services. Contact Keller's today and get your yard cleaned up before that dirty old man winter comes. I hate to say it, but he's on his way. The mornings are cold. They're frigid. I don't like it. I'm turning the steering wheel warmer on. I'm putting the seat warmers on. It's just miserable. But contact Keller's today. And if you're looking for snow removal services during the winter months, they can take care of that for you too. Do not break your back this winter and leave the heavy lifting to the professionals at Keller's, family owned and operated. Their team is looking forward to serving you. Keller's Garden Center and Landscaping Services, located on Kern Street in Exeter near Blue Ribbon Dairy. Find them on social media to learn more. The gentleman from the Robinson Aid. How are you?
Hey, what's up?
It's been a really long time. You guys realize that, so it's funny. This happens a lot. So you guys were episode 13 when I first launched this.
Ooh, unlucky. Unlucky. Lucky,
no, it's lucky 13. Lucky 13.
Hasn't felt it.
But it's, but that was almost exactly 3 years ago. I think that episode released January 26th. Of 2021.
Yeah, that was like, I think it was like, so that, don't quote me on this because I've been really bad with dates. I used to be fantastic with dates and it absolutely has just left me. I thought our EP came out on the 31st of January for a very long time. Like literally every year I've been celebrating the anniversary. I think I posted about it. It's the 31st. It came out on the 29th. So 3 days after our EP came out of, yeah, that year. But I'm really bad with dates.
It's okay. I'm really good with dates. Well, I'm getting worse as I get older because my head is just filled with other things. Like I need to like download the hard drive on like the upload it to the cloud so I can have more RAM or whatever you want to call it.
You a cloud guy?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm afraid. Do I lose there?
What are you afraid of? It's just up. It's up there.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's in the cloud.
A lot of things could happen. You never know.
We're all getting hacked anyways. I mean, the AT&T was down today.
What was it? The phone companies or something?
Yeah. Big outage today.
I know nothing about anything except what my coworkers talk about in the morning sometimes. And if I'm curious enough, I'll research it when I get home. But I'm just like, I live pretty blissfully to things unless I like is major news sometimes. I don't know. Like, I watch the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is a cool thing, but like 95% of other things I don't watch. I don't have TV. Like I don't have cable. I only watch YouTube. Like I was just talking about this the other day. I have such an old YouTube Red Premium, whatever subscription to it, that I'm still like grandfathered into like a cheaper price because I was one of the first people who get YouTube Red. I only watch YouTube and I learn things on YouTube and I watch fun things on YouTube. It's, you know, better than TV in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I cut the cord on cable a long time ago too, but I just replaced it with a bunch of like other services. I'm not smart like you and just said, okay, YouTube and that's it. I have Netflix and Amazon Prime and Disney and Peacock and Paramount Plus. I probably spend more in streaming services than I did with cable because I'm dumb.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that trend a lot. Like, we just lost our Netflix. I was on my parents' Netflix still, like, in our house. I had it. And they're like, oh, you're not the same address. And I'm just like, ah, you got me. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah, whoops.
Oops. Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, this is a very heavy current events podcast. And we're breaking news. Not breaking news, but we're talking about the phone. The internet, or not the phone, but AT&T being down today. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but
Peach Fest. It's not technically canceled, but it has been moved from Montage.
Where's it going? I heard it wasn't going to be in this area. I heard the, like, the striking, oh, it's not in this area news headline or whatever. I didn't see it would happen.
Well, I broke that a month ago on this podcast with the band Yam Yam, but no one listens to me. Not enough people listening to the Popco Project.
I listen. I do listen in a lot. This is, I will tell you, there's a good chance that I don't know how streamer listeners work for podcasts. I'm usually at least a once a month guy in your listens. I'm not going to lie to you. Okay. I do enjoy. It helps me. The one thing is, the more I realize, this may be a lot of people. I know that probably everyone has repeated this sentiment in some regard. I lost a certain bit of my sociability during COVID. I hate to always bring everything back to COVID. I feel like we've walked in circles a million times about this. But I feel like even like I used to love to go to concerts. I used to be like that kid. Once I discovered live music and how good live music, I got into it a little bit later than some kids. Like I started at like 16, 17 going to concerts when I could really just drive myself. But I lost that in me. Like I would genuinely go. There was a time where I was like maybe banging like two Wonder Years shows a tour. Like I was getting out there. I saw the Wonder Years, I think, 7 times in 1 year. They're my favorite band. They're literally the banner behind me. I'm an idiot. I'm plugging them right now. But I went to see, I think, the 1 year, like 23 concerts. And those are like rookie numbers compared to some people I know that go to a lot of concerts. But I went to like genuinely like 23 shows in 1 year when I was like 18, 19 years old. Now I buy tickets to concerts and I sit on the couch and I get the scaries like 50 minutes before I'm supposed to leave. And I'm like, Tara, we should sell our tickets right now. I don't know, man. I lost it a bit. But circling around, the reason I like the podcast, it helps me know the scene more. Sometimes I feel like I just can't make it out to every show that's happening. I say it all the time, like, I love the V-Spot, but I just live in that part of town where I'm just like, oh man, I got to go to the V-Spot. That's like 35 minutes to get there for me sometimes, and that's not even like time is an excuse. Time is relative if you want to go in to see a show and just getting out to do it. But I just feel like, God, I wish that I could know more about these bands. And, you know, socializing at shows is really hard too. So like Popco Project does help me learn the bands. I think listening to podcasts really necessarily helps me because it makes I hate to say it, it's like a parasocial relationship. That's kind of what podcasts do to you. It's parasocial. It really is. Like you're learning intimate facts about people through like a means of, man, I don't have to ask that hard question. I could just listen to that hard question. So like, I hope that if anyone's still listening to this and just listening to me ramble on, they're like, oh man, I'm learning that Joe Lombardo is just the talker. And I think I like talkers and they'll keep listening. You know what I mean?
And he's afraid to leave his house.
Yeah, I'm afraid to leave my house. I'm not agoraphobic. I just simply have lost the drive to leave my house sometimes.
Well, it's tough. And I was being very sarcastic about this being a current events podcast because I record these in advance. Today's the 22nd, and we deliberated about when this will be released for at least 10 minutes prior to hitting record. It could be the 29th of January. It could be March 1st. It could be March 8th. We don't know yet. So, but what I'm getting at is this could be 2 weeks old by the time this releases.
Oh, yeah.
But I was just busting balls because no one wants to listen to me, and I broke the news back in January. About Peach Fest, and now we're talking about AT&T going down, and who knows what else we'll get into tonight. But people need to listen is what I'm getting at. And Joe, you got to go to shows. Get out of your house.
I do got to go to shows. That's my goal for this year. Get out to way more shows in the scene again.
So here I am. I do all these podcasts, right? I love doing this. I do it at night when my kids are asleep. So I do the dad stuff. We do dinner. We do baths. We do the bedtime stuff. My wife gets a break from like seeing me and hearing me talk. So everybody wins. I mean, I'm down here in the basement. Kids are in bed. I love doing this. But every time I do one, they're like, oh, you're going to come to the show on Saturday? And it's like, I would love to. I welcomed
you into my podcast. Don't hit me with this question right now. I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Like, well, no, they're even so cool. Like, oh, we'll put you on the list. Like, don't even worry about a cover charge. Like, let's come hang out before the show. We'll have a beer or two. We'll talk. We'll shoot the shit. And I'm like, I would love to. But, like, I'm 41 years old now. I've got two kids. And, like, and I don't get a lot of time. And I love being home with my wife and my family.
I just like, even if I could go out, and I can, but it's not like, oh, you can't go out tonight. But it's like 7 o'clock rolls around, 8 o'clock rolls around. I'm like, I'm tired. I don't want to go anywhere right now.
Oh, I feel that.
But yeah, but, what do you think, Nick?
About what? There was a lot covered there.
all over the place.
Leaving your house for shows.
What's up?
Leaving your house for shows.
It's something I always say I'm going to do and I want to do. And then the day comes and it's like, oh, man, I just don't have the energy. I don't have the drive. It sucks because like I used to get annoyed about that when I was in bands and like, you know, I'd call these people because they were going to show up and they don't show up. And I don't know. It's just, I think it's getting older. I feel that I just don't have the drive to do it. You know, I don't want to. I'd love to. A day before, 2 days before, I'm dying to go out, but I don't know.
It's hard, man. It's hard. Yeah. Life's hard.
Yeah.
I'm glad we could do this tonight, though, because I woke up yesterday looking like Forrest Whitaker. I had this cyst under like my eyebrow.
Oh.
And I was messing with it and it blew up and my eye, it's still a little puffy, but like it was like this when I woke up yesterday morning. I mean, I can't do a podcast looking like this. This is terrible.
You could have pulled off eye patch. You could have done eye patch.
Oh, that's would what have been hard look. That's what I should have done. Eye patch. Like, yo, Popka, what are you doing? I'm a pirate now.
Love that. I love the basement too. I think I said this. I was it at this level last time, if I do remember, was it the same thing, the setup?
It was probably cleaner. Since we've had that episode number 13, I mean, I've won awards. You can see them in the background.
Oh yeah, you're
I'm an award winner.
Living legend. I got that one Song of the Year award
Man.
Over there from the Joe Lombardo career. It's
we're a bunch of award winners here. That's what we do. Yeah. I got my beer.
Yeah, where are the Taxman Award?
It's somewhere here, but I don't know where. But
that's the community that we've built. We're an award winning community.
Yeah.
And you know the Robinson Aid. You know it's been a long time. So and you guys have some new music coming out. And I heard it today for the first time. The new song called Roundabout. And obviously we wanted to talk about that and kind of not the rebirth, but honestly, dude, I mean, I haven't heard the band's name outside of us like running into each other randomly saying, hey, is the band still around? And you're like, yeah, we're doing this. We're doing that. Joe, I see your dad probably more than I do you.
Oh God. Yeah. Right. He's actually killing it right now. He's doing great.
Yeah. But I mean, my son was on your nephew's soccer team.
Yes. Isn't it?
Okay.
Or cousin, actually.
Sorry. Okay. I don't even know who's who anymore. But I saw your dad a lot, and I was always talking to him. He's talking to me about radio and podcasts, and I ask him about how you're doing. So it's good to kind of reconnect and spend some time together, and it's good to hear that there's new music. So let's talk about this because, like I said, it's been a while. You sent me this song. Again, it's called Roundabout. And you sent me a lot of information about the song that I did read, but I can't comprehend things that I read. I don't know if I have ADHD. Like I could read something 1,000 times and just be like, I don't know what it was.
I feel that sometimes.
But let's talk about the new song because along with the new song, you're going to have like an acoustic video to go along with it. So talk to me about the Robinson Aid. Talk to me about the new song. Talk to me about what we can expect this year.
Let me start with we'll talk about how songs get written. This is something that I don't know if I talked about at length in the other podcast, but I'm sorry, I'm pulling up a thing I had.
That was so long ago. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I used to be a solo singer-songwriter, just went under my name, Joe Lombardo. And this is a story, this is the same exact story. I tell it the same exact way. I'm one of those people that I will tell a story the same exact way every single time because I just – how I narrate events. But this is the exact reason of why I started going under the Robinson Aid. I was at a show one day. I was sold one of my shirts. I forget which one it was. It was, I had these two really cool, interesting just designs, a broken rib cage glow stick shirt because I had a song called Glow Stick, and I had another one that was me on a pizza box. It was just stupid, you know, NEPA joke. And I remember this girl bought a shirt off me when I was just going by Joe Lombardo. I had like Joe Lombardo on it, and she was like, oh my God, I love it. Your music was great. And she literally like just put her shirt, the shirt on over her shirt right there. And immediately I was like, oh my God, someone's wearing my shirt with my name on it right in front of me right now. This is one of the most awkward things that has ever happened to me in my life. And I realized, God, I can't go as a singer-songwriter. Like, I really don't like going by Joe Lombardo. So I immediately started liking doing the solo, or not the solo, the band stuff with the guys. And I was like, guys, can we just make this into a band? Talking with my hands a lot, sorry. Making this into a band thing. And I deliberated over some names for a bit, came up with the Robinsonade, talked about the meaning last time, doesn't really matter. And basically how it's gone since then, I can't break the singer-songwriter thing. I exclusively don't know how to write songs with people, but I write these really weird setup song ideas that almost like, I would say that my songs are more just like very descriptive stories. And Grud has described them as, there's no rhyme or reason for why I drop a chorus or a verse here. I just exclusively feel how I'm going to feel and write what I'm going to say. And it, if one part is, you can't even cut apart. Like, that's a part of the story. And it's very from the start. You guys have to kind of follow this metric of where the song is going. And I've run into issues, not majorly with the guys, but there's been moments in the studio where like, God, Joey, you write such good fucking parts, but how do I play with them? Mm-hmm. And that's been the conversation a couple times. It's really funny. I really just throw shit at the guys and it goes, and this new idea was no different. So to give you the long and short story of how it happened, I remember I had just gotten my house that I'm in now, and I had this really nice back smoke porch. I was like, oh man, we'll have the guys over. We all collectively like smoking cigars. We'll have a cigar in the back porch. And I was like, this would be a really good time to establish like a band meeting kind of thing. Like, this is something I've done maybe like 4 or 5 times at this point. We've had a band meeting, a bi-regularly band meeting, where like twice a year we'll meet up, have cigars on my back porch, and I talk about what I've been doing musically and how I want them and what the direction of things are going. And this is like, again, this is a conscious effort by myself. I try to make it as I'm working with them and I don't just drop random shit on them. I remember that day I hit them with, guys, I have an idea for an album. And I literally was just like, I was like hyping it up so much. I was like, you have to trust me so much right now. You have to trust me so much because I'm writing an album about coal miners. And it was just like, it was one of those things, like, they weren't like mad about it. They didn't like, it wasn't like, oh my God, that's so stupid, no one's gonna like shit on your idea. But it was definitely like, No, trust me, bro. Like, trust me, please, trust me. And I hit them with this idea. I told them about the concept for the album. I told them about some of the stories I was going to make into it. But it kind of turned into this bigger thing. So I've been working on – the album itself is called Effigy. Oh, we'll get into that later. But the album itself I've been working on since when we were in studio in 2020, but also since kind of 2019. So the idea for Effigy, this is in this, again, long, short story of how it came together. I was dog sitting for my uncle and aunt in their, at their one home in Pittston. I was letting the dogs out at night. It was like 2 a.m. and just staring out their back porch in the middle of Pittston. Like, it's, you know, streetlights and just like nothing around. I was like, wow, this city is just like what it is. I have no negative thoughts of Pittston. My whole life I've lived outside of Pittston around. I've done Tomato Festival a million, billion times. But I thought about just like the history of the town. It's just like, you know, whole coal mining, everything. It's a really strong history. I remember there was actually like back that week, there was a coal mining mine subsidence thing that happened just in the area. I was thinking about it. And I came up with this stupid little nursery rhyme that was just like, all these buildings should knock down with all their residents inside them. It's hiding in the thoughts from the underground. I wouldn't have made it any time but now. I said that pretty fast. Doesn't matter right now. But that whole sentiment of, I wouldn't have made it any time but now, carried into this idea of, I wouldn't have made it as a coal miner. I wouldn't have done it. I live in this area right now. If I lived 100 years ago, I would not have been able to be a coal miner. I couldn't do it. I literally could not do it. I know mentally, physically, I could not do it. And that kind of went into this idea where a lot of ideas culminated to me making an album about coal miners. Any questions so far, too, if we want to just touch base here?
Well, no, I mean, the fact that you said you could never be a coal miner, I literally, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I went into the coal mines, and this has nothing to do with your story, but it kind of, we're talking about coal mining. I took my son and my niece and my brother and his wife. There's the five of us. And at that moment, like, I had seen that whole thing when I was younger, right?
Yeah.
And my son at the time was 5 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, like, every adult, it should be mandatory that they have to come down here and kind of witness, you know, what the generations prior to us have went through, because it's insane. I could never be a coal miner. I remember saying to my son, like, that kid, that figure that you're seeing, that you know, statue or whatever, like,
7-year-old kid that was doing this job. Yeah, you're not doing this job, dude. Like,
and he goes, I'm happy that we're not doing that, Dad. I said, buddy, me too. Like, he was kind of like understanding, like, that was like, this, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And just I mean, it was almost impossible to be a coal miner and meet your quota for the day or week or all that stuff. It's like, how is this, how did this happen? And it wasn't that long ago. It was not that long ago.
Yeah.
But long story short, I think every adult should be forced to go on that tour.
That's a really, like, excellent. You said actually kind of something that, like, I don't know if you even know this, but the coal miner statue in Pittston, like, just at the end by the like the daycare, wherever it is, it says, like, I'm pretty sure the inscription on it literally says, like, we owe him so much. It is literally that, like, that sentiment. Like, I think about that, and that's kind of, again, where the idea came from. It is like, I quite literally would not be able to do that. I would probably just be one of those people who died, who just physically died doing it. And, like, along with the history, like, you know, I live 5 minutes from the Knox Mine disaster. Mm-hmm. Like, I live there. That is one of the things that arguably ripped coal mining industry out of the area. And, like, it left everything that was left. So this is where I want to pick back up in the story. So 2019, yeah, I wrote that little snippet, did nothing with it until 2020 when we were in studio, quite literally the day that the pandemic got declared. We were in studio with Joe Loftus. We went to JL Studios. Of course, we love JL Studios. They're fantastic. We love Joe and Jay. They do so much for us. They make our songs sound amazing. They're the best people ever. Just wanted to give the plug. They're great. So we were there, like, the day that the pandemic got declared, whatever, like, oh, you have to start masking. Like, the next day in studio, we had to wear masks and shit like that. Weird time. But we left where I was writing this song in studio. I was writing this kind of, we were kind of working on it. And I wrote a line in it that was, I feel so ethereal living in the cold light. And that's kind of what this town is. Like, Pittston used to be not as nice looking as it was, like, in the recent, like, history. Like, you could find pictures of Pittston in, like, 2004, 2005 that's not as beautiful as it is right now. I'll say that. Like,
the dump. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was very much a dump back then. They're revitalizing it and a ton of things like that. But, you know, that's entirely it. I had this, like, spark of that original idea that I didn't think of for, you know, a year and a half with, I feel so ethereal living in a cold light. I literally feel like it feels like you're in a different world sometimes. That's the kind of thing, like, random industry and stuff just scattered around the area. And that's a whole thing. Like, you know, Billy Joel wrote the whole song. They're tearing all the factories down. Like, that's what Pennsylvania is known for, closing its coal mines and closing its coal industry, because that was the tail end of our golden age and stuff like that. So it has a lot to do with history. It has a lot to do with timing. Has a lot to do with many things, but I think also there's just an interesting story that I came up with a lot of stupid ideas. Like, I was just literally writing things down in a book. This is you know, there's a lot of things to talk about in the story, but like I'm a big multiple books type of guy. So I have multiple writing books at all times. I showed the guys too. I had 4 books going. I had a writing journal of ideas for the Coal Mining album. I had how to structure songs and how to make songs pretty decently good in connecting to a story. I wrote the story of what the Coal Mining album like is. So when we go into that, I'll talk more about, there's a story to it, a full story. And then I wrote entirely from the perspective of the character that I was writing as. It is a very interesting, like, 4 layers of, I was carrying things around. They all made sense to me. I just couldn't separate the thoughts unless they were in different books. And it turned into, like, quite literally for 2 years, me carrying around these 4 tablets, just writing down separate ideas for it and blending it into a thing. So there's a lot of nuance to this album. So again, from the start, when I told the guys about this album, I said, guys, it's going to sound so cheesy. Like, I'm not writing an album like, oh, I'm a coal miner, I swing my axe, I do this. I was going to layer it with such nuance. And the thing I said to the guys, I was like, I'm avoiding so much cheese. I want 0 cheese on this album. It's not going to be cheesy. It's going to be very, like, almost like a stage play is how I described it. Think of it like, I'm not literally gonna fucking, I don't have the willpower in my life to make a stage play out of this bullshit, but like, you know, I'm not opposed to doing little intricate things and like doing fun little things. I just said, think of it as like a little play going on. There's 2 stories intertwining. There's my life and a character whose name is Douglas Roscoe. He is the coal miner of the album. He basically is just this guy that gets taken to this coal mining town. He's just a drifter floating through the area in the 1920s. And he ends up in this mining town called Saltier Mine. That is the piece of merch that we got from Axel Rad Screen Printing.
Yo, I don't want to hear it, but you know, you came in there, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but you came in there and you didn't talk to me. You were so starstruck with Brianna Collins from Tiger's Jaw. I met her
before. It's fine.
I want to work with Brianna.
Wasn't starstruck.
She's the girl from Tiger's Jaw. I want to work with her. Who's Johnny?
Well, Pesky? No. Well, the day it happened, I don't think you were there when I got the order. So what happened? It was an Act 80 day at school for the kids. So on my lunch break, they gave me 45 minutes instead of my 30. So I was like, I'm going to go down to Axel Rad, get some pricing, because I didn't know if the prices were still the same. I'm glad I did. Prices did change, but it was never an issue. I was just like, I need to get shirts done. I needed to get done that day because I knew that I didn't want to miss time for it to get done. But I promised you, you'll get another design. I have one coming.
I would rather work with Brianna too. Let's call a spade a spade. It is what it is.
She is very cool. She's a very nice person.
She's an artist herself.
Uh-huh.
She's in a great band, Tiger's Jaw. Like, I get it, dude.
But I'm wearing the Tiger's Jaw hat right now. I do like this hat a lot. It's a pretty sick design. You should listen to Tiger's Jaw.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off. A little hurt. I'm not gonna lie, you know.
We did, yes. So we did make new merch through Axel Rad, a place of Popko's employment, obviously. Great guy. So it is – Saltier Mine is just not even an allegory for Pittston. It's just literally like some – it's meant to be some random mining town that the main character can't get out of. There's a lot of things in the story. It sounds really cheesy right now again. Like I put a lot of, you know, 3 years of time to avoid that cheese completely. The cheese was here. This is where the album was, in my opinion. Like, I'm up here above it. I tried to make it as, you know – I'm not going to make an absolute clunker of a thing that I don't think people like, but also I made this very much for myself. It was so fun, more than anything. To sidetrack off, I don't want to, you know, talk for days about the story, because the story will reveal itself when you hear the album eventually when it comes out. It is to be said that I will say one thing. I've had a lot of struggle recently with it, and it's like, again, you go to – you say it yourself. What happened to the Robinsonade? Where were they? I have talked to people at length about this, and I just think that the best thing I could have done was just hold on to that EP for like 7-8 more months and not have the same, you know, pounding thing on my head right now that I've had while I've been holding on to Roundabout for like 2.5 months. Like, don't release it. Just don't release it. Prime it. Get it going. Get an interview with someone. Get stuff behind it. I kind of just dropped that EP and didn't do anything about it. Like, you know, it became like, wow, these songs are so good. Like between the four of us talking, between people in the scene talking to me, like, why didn't you guys do anything more with this? And it was just more like, I don't really know how to promote myself. This is, I'm not even joking with you. And I hate to always use this as a cop out, but like, this is genuinely, that show that we're doing on March 8th is genuinely the first show that the Robinson 8 is hosting. We've been a band for 4 years. That is the second show that I am hosting. I only hosted one other show. It was my birthday show where the guy running the bar didn't even know that was my birthday or I was playing on at the Irish Wolf Pub. Not the shit talk the Wolf Pub. It was an iconic place that – like, that's the only other show I've ever hosted in my life. And I already have 3 shows booked for just through myself this year. I think it was like, I put a lot of like no action into making that a thing. The thing about this, I put so much thought into, will people like this? Will I finally make something out of it? Well, I not even like, you know, get famous scene, but if you look at my lyrics are very self-referential and I'm very much in your face sometimes. I don't know if I explained this in the original podcast, but it's to say again, the lyrics on Luke or the lyrics on the actual like EP are very self-referential too. I'll scream my head off until you want me around. The only thing people said for a very long time in the scene is, Joe, I love how you scream in your songs. I'll scream my head off until you want me around was literally written about that. The end, like, that's entirely like, and it just comes back on itself at the end in Foxhole. Like, I will scream my head off until you want me around. And it's just like, yeah, that's how I feel about it. Like, I really was looking to fit in and be like, have people enjoy my music in the scene. The one thing that has really changed between that EP and now, I very much wrote this album for myself. I say it all the time, this was more of a labor of love and loving myself and loving how I write songs in stupid ways and make my friends make music about coal miners, even if it might fall flat. Like, I had fun doing this. I had an extreme amount of fun doing this, making concept art for it that I'm going to do at a show we'll talk about in a little bit, an art show that I'm doing at the Bog. Like, there's a lot that went into this that overall I could say it was done for no one except myself, and I loved it. I love doing it. And it's like, I've accepted. I've said all the time, there may be one song I think that will stand up on itself off this album. If the whole coal miner, everything about it flops, I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of everything I put into it. So, yeah.
I love all of that. I love the fact that you're walking around with 4 notebooks, you know, just like writing shit down.
I did say a lot. It's very much beneficial to me that I work in a school where carrying a backpack in isn't lame. So I constantly had my 4 writing tablets and my work laptop and like my lunch and my water bottle. So I wasn't just like a lame person, like I'm carrying everything around.
No, I wasn't even picturing that. I'm just like, just the fact that like you, and that's what I find so fascinating about artists, you know, whether it's, you know, musicians or, you know, people writing novels or, you know, painters or whatever it might be. Like, that's what I find so fascinating, because like, there's so much of things people don't see. Like, you know, people see the finished painting, they'll hear the finished song. And to people like me, I mean, not like me, but like the normal person, not that I'm not normal. this makes sense. Like, just like, it just happens, right? It's just like the song exists. But they don't know like what the time it took to go into it, the self-reflection, you know, how you were feeling from, like, you know, I wrote this first EP for other people and this was all for me. And then just creating this whole concept album, like, and then having art for that. Like, it's just, that's so cool.
I will stop you right there. I was actually looking at my note. I wrote down notes for this because, again, like, I am, again, it's hard not to talk 10 minutes at you about amount of like nuance and story and lore I put into this. But I put a couple like fast sentences I could say that could tell you a lot about this that really to put the sentiment into heart. Effigy, the whole album, is a lot of stories of hard emotions I feel made into a running narrative about something else to dilute it. It's like, yeah, I feel this way and it sucks, but at least I'm not a coal miner 100 years ago. But, you know, I would have been. That's exactly it. Like, I told you, like, I am not afraid. I'm not afraid. You could ask me. Anyone could approach me in public and say, what does that lyric mean? I'll tell you exactly what it means down to the second, down to the minute I feel it. I'm very literal with my lyrics. I wanted to dilute it. I sometimes feel abrasive. And honestly, another reason why I made this album was, even I said this before, I wanted to challenge myself. Here's another really funny thing about me. I am so good at writing songs, but I don't want to do it ever. I average like one song every 4 months, and that's why it takes me 3 years to write a whole like 17 thing album. I love writing songs. They flow out of me so easy. When I'm in that flow state, I write a song and it's done in like 25 to 40 minutes, exactly how it will be recorded. But I pick and choose things that I've written about different running concepts. Again, four tablets. I have to amalgamate what I wrote in my ideas into a song. And unfortunately, it just doesn't come out all the time. It's just like, I gotta wait 3 months to write the next Joe Lombardo, the Robinsonade hit. And I don't know why it does it in my brain, but like, it just sometimes, you know, I want to challenge myself. Songs were, again, not too easy. I probably misspoke with that. They're not easy to write. Songs are very difficult to write. And I like definitely brood over things that I, and concepts that I can't hit the right way until I do. But it's like, I wanted to challenge myself. It's so easy to just write a song. Oh, I like a girl. I like a girl for this reason. Why do you feel misery in a way that makes you want to be like, compare your life to a coal miner, is a question I ask myself. Like, I have been saying the buzzwords again for a long time. You could ask anyone in my band, the thing, or anyone I've told about this. Like, every single person I've probably told about this, I've said it is. I'm sure Nick is sick of hearing this sentence. It is the literal and it is the metaphorical of it. It is, I am literally in this sense, a coal miner in the depths of the earth, in the depths of these awful conditions. I am metaphorically feeling this way that I am so inclined to describe myself as in the depths of my emotions, buried underneath the metaphor of everything I'm going through. It is... not like, I'm not saying this is like high art. This is a concept like beyond anyone. It's just something I really think that if I didn't put this much effort into it, it would have hit that the cheese diagram I said before. The cheese is here. I was up here with it. I put a lot more thought into it than I'm a coal miner swinging my axe. Right. It's nuanced. It's very nuanced, and it's a story, literally a story.
And I love that. Nick, just so we make it worth your while being here, you know, when Joe comes to you and says, guys, I got an idea. And, you know, it's kind of, I mean, it's no secret Joe is a talker and he has these thoughts, right? What are your thoughts when Joe says, I have an idea? Like, and how do you go about helping him bring that to life?
I'm always open for any idea. So I don't know, when he first brought the idea up, I didn't really even think twice on it. I know he says that like we're probably like sick of it and all that kind of stuff. No, I mean I'm always for it. I'm always for experimenting and doing anything, and I don't know. To me, I'm always excited when you bring something new, because you mentioned earlier how you know, the way he writes is almost like a flow. I always say that the way he writes is almost like he wrote the lyrics first and then tailored the song to it. And it makes it so interesting and so much fun to come up with different ideas, because there's so much open space to do it. So I don't know, when he brought forth the idea about the coal miner thing and everything that this album became, I was excited for it. I was pumped.
Yeah, I imagine as a creator and a musician, like, it would be cool to have like someone like Joe come with, here's this concept, like let's like piece it all together. That sounds like it would be fun for
it. Definitely so much fun. I've always wanted to be a part of like a concept album and all that kind of stuff, and like tried in the past myself, like solo, trying to do things even with like Cryptid and stuff like that. It's always been like, you know, a drive to do something like a concept album that has this bigger meaning behind it and is a story in itself, is a work of art in itself. So this one came together really well, and it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do.
Now, Joe, you said there's an album title. Is the album done?
This is where we're in the thick of it right now. We are definitely recording it. So to say that it's short album is not true. It is realistically 12 full songs, which are in its regard already longer than my first album was This Is Gonna Hurt, that I released under my name and then re-released under the Robinson Age just to have all my music together. It is 17 songs. There are 5 other songs on there that we'll talk with. Again, we could talk more. I could talk at length. I could talk for days about the stuff I have played, but they're just like little transitionary songs. Think like, you know, just like, you know, songs that push the story along. They're not as complex. They may be like a literal just guitar and like a simple drum beat. Just pass the story along. Cause again, this is not just like, oh, I'm a coal miner, I'm sad. It's, oh, what's this guy up to? What's going on? What's his deal? And why are these referential lyrics referring to me and the coal miner in two different scenarios that are the same because of the whole metaphor of it? It's like, you know, just it's one of those things that I don't want people to be afraid of the length of it. This is something I've come to terms with. I am a person who doesn't make that short, sweet, catchy song. I don't think I could write a song shorter than 2 minutes. I swear on my life. Like, I don't think I could do it. I wrote, like, other than, like, transitionary things, I don't think I could do it. My songs average, I would say, 4 minutes, 30 seconds at least, always. And that's, like, in itself asking a lot of a listener. It's like, you know, other than people who know me, care about me, love me, are my friends and gonna listen to it. Oh, sorry, Leia's scratching over. You probably hear a caller. Other than people who know me, love me, want to listen to it, am I going to get people who want to listen to just a random 5-minute song establishing the first part of a coal miner story off the bat on March 1st? Like, I don't know. It's a concept I'm trying to sell. And, like, don't think about music too literally. Don't, like, have, oh, man, it's a coal miner album, I can't listen to this in a day-to-day practice. There's going to be some real good songs that have nothing to do with coal mining except me using really, like, spiced up words to make it referential coal mining. You know, there's a lot of, like, you know, I use depth as a word a lot in the album. I use the word boring a couple times. Boring is literally quite, you know, it's boring is a feeling you can feel. You can feel bored, but that comes from the root word of it being boring, something like a boring a hole. Like, that's what mining is. There's a lot of, again, nuance to it. I think in all reality, like, stuff like that is a hard thing to make people want to listen to. But I think that the album came together in such a way that it's worth the 17 songs. And come back to the question, is the album done? No, the album's not done. But I said the other day, I'm probably 2/3 of the way done with recording my bass tracks, my vocals, my guitars. And I think overall the album's probably like 1/3 of the way done being recorded, kind of thing. It's a work in progress. It is still definitely coming together. I'm hoping to get it out. I'm definitely going to try to get it out by the end of this year. It's whether it's the end of summer release or the early fall release for us, kind of thing. You know, not putting my eggs all in one basket. If it doesn't pan out that way, it's a whatever kind of thing. But I think that's about our timeline. Have a bunch of things planned around it. Have way more, like, I want to make a music video and stuff like that for it. But, like, there's, like, a whole story there that I could, you know, work on things and keep this concept going and the art and the other things around it for months, if not years, with it.
Yeah, I mean, we could have a whole year full of the Robinson Age. You could have disappeared for 3 years and then lived for an entire year in some way. And, you know, you're saying 17 songs and maybe 12 and then 5 transitionary songs, but, like, no one's doing that anymore. Like, no one's, and I think that's amazing. I mean, I grew up with, you know, listening to their records and, you know, 12, 13, 15 track albums and listening to it from start to finish. And, you know, you said, like, you know, the song length in general is very long. And I think that's really one thing that's awesome about your music in general. Because the song isn't, like, it's not the same thing over and over again. It doesn't, like, you know, start and then the chorus and then go, you know, back to this part and the chorus again. Yeah. Like, it's not like it's, your music isn't just filling time. Like it's like it's there's a purpose behind all of it. Feels like, which is amazing.
And that's another thing I wanna make a point of saying that, like, and this isn't like a call out post to anyone. It's just that, like, in general, I think music has become so disingenuous. And that's another word that I use on the album. There's a whole song called Confetti where I talk about being disingenuous and not feeling a part of your music. Just to give you a little insight on that, it's Confetti is a song literally written about the chorus goes, throw your confetti if you wanted to. Your disingenuousness should matter to you. It's saying, like, it's just basically making a commentary. Yeah, you could do whatever you want, but, like, if you're not 100% back behind it, like, throw your confetti, celebrate what you want to celebrate. If you're not being genuine with what you're doing, why do it? Like, right. you could like celebrate anything. You could be happy for yourself in any way, but if it has zero like hollow meaning to it, it's like, what are you even doing? You're celebrating yourself for nothing. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that, like, I think people are too disingenuous. I think that's where my music shines through. I think one of the best compliments that I still think of this today, I forget who even gave it to me. It was probably some random person from at a show, but they said they came up to me and quoted my lyrics back to me. They said my exact lyrics back to me was like, man, I've never heard someone say something like that and describe feeling that way like that. That was awesome. And it made me think, like, people hear the words I say, whether it's, you know, the 10 people who listen to us or whatever, but people hear my words sometimes. And I feel really good about what I say because I put a lot of thought into it. I think it's like really my best quality. And like Nick said, I literally do write my lyrics and play the music second. Like, I have little riffy parts that I think of. Then I'm like, oh man, I could do that. I could do that. But I really, like I said, write a story with the lyrics. I paint the literal picture of the story. And then, like, oh man, this is the background of it. This is what's happening in it. I'm just not music focused. I'm lyric focused in every way. And I think that's where I really shine through in my music.
Well, and that's why you have these other guys behind you too. You know, Nick, obviously, Ryan Grutt, and I'm a bad person and bad interviewer.
Ryan Whitman.
Ryan Whitman.
Yes.
he missed the last interview too. So, like, he doesn't exist to me. He's of but a name.
He's a fantastic human being.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Best drummer that has ever lived.
I'm sure. And hopefully one day I'll get to meet him if I haven't yet. That's even terrible to say too, but I mean, how important is it to have these guys? I mean, did you like hand select these guys to, you know, be part of this project, or?
That's even worth saying too. Ryan Grutt has been my friend since sixth grade. We talk about it all the time. Again, I keep referencing the old podcast, but we probably talked about it there. Me and Grutt have been through like 9 friend groups together. It was always like since sixth grade, we've been through 9 different friend groups together. Like, that's the reality of it. Me and Grutt are constants. Me and Grutt are like just, you know, we're like just best friends that kind of like, no, you're a chill guy. I'll keep you around no matter what. And we're just, it's at that point where me and Grutt have such chemistry with like writing music that it was an obvious choice. Me and Grutt self-recorded This Is Gonna Hurt in his basement. He, you know, did it for me. I think I paid him at the end of it like $100. I was like, yo man, you didn't have to do all this, but when the album's finished, I literally had him $100. He's like, thanks man, that's great. And I'm like, yeah dude, it's like you did a service for me. But he was, I think about this in hindsight, I really should have just like credited him on it. He wrote like almost all the drums for it. Like, we worked on bass together, we worked on guitar, but Ryan fell so easily into being my lead guitar player because we wrote that entire album together. And like, I found it fun. I found it really fun working with like my best friend at the end of the day. And I think that's why, like, it's not like, I tell them all the time, if you don't have time for it, it's fine. I don't care when things get done. I just think that I want to write music with you. I think it's really fun to write music. You're one of my best friends. And I, you know, I don't care if it takes 2 years to get this album done, 3 years, 4 years. It's like, just be a part of it. It's a cool little passion project when you're doing it on the side. So with Nick and Ryan, Nick is my family. Nick is one of my cousins. I don't know what level. It's like second or third cousins, at least, something like that.
It's like somewhere on there. I think it's a little bit further, but
second or third cousins.
We share a great grandparent. I believe that's what it is.
Yeah,
whatever.
Every numbers are on that, but
can you see the family resemblance? Sure. Both have facial hair. Facial hair. You're a brother. You're somewhere in the family tree, Popko. All beard guys over here.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, Nick and me, it's one of those things just like, hey, dude, I know we're cousins for a while. And then we became like, we were friends definitely in high school. Nick also introduced me to Ryan Whitman, who was his longtime. They lived next to each other forever growing up. So they were their best friends. And that's, of course, why they had the Cryptid, all their other, you know, music projects. They're just friends, again, like the same side of the coin. The way me and Ryan are friends for life, Nick and Ryan are friends for life kind of thing. It's very adds to the connectivity of the band too. I think that our strong positive friendships really also splay us together in a way that like we get each other on both ends of it and then we can mash together. So Ryan was one of the only drummers I ever played with. This is also how this connectivity comes out of it. I think I've only ever played with like six other musicians. I was never good at like, yo, man, you want to jam sometime? I had only played with Nick and Ryan in Ryan's basement, like just fooling around on instruments, not doing anything good. And I played with Grutt the one time. I think that's kind of it, other than a show when I was one off show when I was like a kid. It kind of was just like, yo, man, I don't know anyone else who plays drums and I need a bass player and Nick and you have really good chemistry. Do you just want to do it with me? So from the start, I was just like, hey guys, we could do all that. And like I said, the rest is history. I was like, oh man, I don't want to be a solo musician anymore. We played that one time for the album release show for Joe Lombardo. Can we do a full band thing now? And it just, you know, it came from there.
Well, it's easy.
Yeah. That's kind of the whole story of it. There's no secret thing behind it. We were just exclusively like, I became friends with Nick and Ryan, and they were two of the people I played music with before, and Gretz was one of my best friends. That's how the band was born.
Yeah. So when I heard the song today, I was trying to, I do this all the time, and I hate the fact that I do it, but I was trying to, like, you know, decide who Joe Lombardo and the Robinsonade sounded like. And I feel like I may have said something the last episode, and I don't know what it was. I think I had a notes here somewhere from the last episode. And you ever hear the Flaming Lips?
I think I have.
Wayne Coyne.
Nick's got it. Don't worry. Nick's the music encyclopedia.
Yeah. She don't use jelly.
Yeah, that's the song. That's I don't know what it is about. I don't know if it's the way like it kind of falls into play. I don't know what it is, but that's the song that I was like, you know, she don't use jelly. It kind of meets the Wonder Years, kind of meets Mike Doughty. I don't know if you know who Mike Doughty is, but yeah, it's definitely. I feel like it's a unique sound, and I feel like it's really good. What are your thoughts about, you know, coming out with all this, you know, 3 years after the last release? Like, what are your thoughts? What are your hopes?
I just hope people like it. People give it the time of day. That's kind of like, again, a lot of things I talk about this on this album are like the true way I feel about it. I talk about being bitter about it. I was not that. I feel so overlooked in the scene and I'm jealous of people, but like, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm a pretty decent sounding. I feel like everyone thinks they're a pretty decent sounding band, but like even in just like, I don't know, like where, how do you get to that level where people just listen to you? And I feel like that's the question everyone asks. How do you get to that level where people give enough of a fuck about you without like throwing your heart out of your chest? I mean, like, please, please, dear God, just give me a single listen on Spotify. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I've never been able to find the formula. And I've been saying, like, the thing I've been saying at the end of the show is, I'm just like, I don't like to talk much anymore just because, like, I don't know who's even going to listen to this sappy speech. I might as well just play these songs. And that's kind of like how I've been, like, I've been doing a couple on the side, like the NEPA scene podcast with Rich. Like, I've been doing like stuff like that, just on the side, doing a couple things, just testing the waters with some things, showing some people who I know go all the time, some new songs. But I'm just like, how do you get people to care about things other than finding complete bliss and not caring if they care or not. Like, I am just going to put myself out there. I'm going to play a show. I'm going to start booking shows. If people show up, they show up. If they don't, they don't. I had like a mindset where, I don't know, I didn't care to play a lot of shows in the recent years just because I got really hard on myself. I'm playing these shows for myself now. I really enjoy what I wrote. Not saying I don't enjoy the EP. It's just that I really, really, really enjoy this. I think it's a fun concept. I think it's a really fun thing that, I don't know, the only people who are going to like it are the people who get into it. The people who like see that I have a lot of things in the background. Like that design, not to go back to the Axorad design. I want to do that design again, but in three more colors, like keep releasing the same thing in a same color or the same design in a different color with like crazy different, like, you know, the first one was on a white shirt with a green design. I want to do one on like a green shirt with like a neon pink design. I want to do like a red shirt with a yellow design. I want to do like, so I look out in the crowd if people are wearing our shirts, not just the same to a white shirt or a black shirt. I want to like make design. I want to even treat it as like, I know people are like, you know, you got to make moves, you got to make it, treat it as like a business, as a brand. Not even that level. I just want to have fun with it. I think it'd be fun to have a lot of colorful merch. I think it'd be fun to have a lot of different merch out there, even if it's the same merch. I want to like completely invest in it way more than I did with the EP. Like, I don't think we even had merch. I don't think we did anything except release that EP and then we made shirts like a year and a half later. I think that's the only thing I've done for this band in all reality since that EP released. You know? Yeah. Like, I'm just gonna hit the ground running. That's kind of it. Like, I want people to at least give me the time of day. If you don't like it, that's fine. It's not for everyone. But I think that, I don't know, you're talking about who I sounded like and what my influences are. I want people to like feel the way they do this album. I want people to feel the way about this album they do about like how I feel about, now it's not going to rattle some albums off that I feel like, but the big inspirations are like Sam's Town by the Killers. Like Sam's Town by the Killers is a huge album for what inspired this. It's a story, it's a side, it's a like a narrative about this. There's like the Home Like No Place Is There by the Hotelier, like explaining like such a big concept in like almost in like this dramatic orchestral form, like any Wonder Years album where there's soundscapes and ideas going on across songs and titles and across like a three arc trilogy. There's things that inspire me that make me want to make music that is not only fun and like relatable, but challenging. I think that like, people need to be challenged by music. My music is not, I'm not saying it's not for everyone, but like, if you can't like get into the concept of the song and be like, wow, this is so fun. Like I'm making funny little riffing on I'm a coal miner jokes. Like you can't do it. You can't do it. If you do, I hope you enjoy like the ride of it. I hope you enjoy. That's why I referred even on the poster for I'm rambling again, but even on the poster for the March 8th show, there's so much to talk about it. Like I put start of a new album cycle. I want people to think about this as an album cycle. I feel like that's what people are, that's going back to the disingenuous thing. People are just posting singles. People are pumping out a single a month, a single amount a month, please the algorithm. They're just doing the thing to please the algorithm. And I'm doing, oh, my dog might bark. Sorry. I'm doing a thing. I want to make content. I want to make an album cycle, a traditional, you know, this could last for 2 years, whether it takes off or not, album cycle, a real cycle where there's concepts like the same thing I'm talking about right now, this month, I'll be talking about in 2 years, but at a different length, still playing the same songs, new merch, new concepts, stuff like that. I think I want to challenge people with the music, and I think I want it to be like one of those albums that skips the, oh, we like it, and if you want my true opinion, I want it to be like an album that gets like, man, they, like you said, they don't make albums like Effigy. They don't make albums like that anymore. Like I want it to be something bigger than itself. That's, I think that's anyone's dream, but I truly see it as like, I didn't make an easy thing for people to like and listen to. If you get into it, I hope you really do. That's all I could say on it, you know?
Yeah. Give me 1 second. I gotta plug my computer in.
Oh, you're good. Oh, mine's getting kind of low. I could always switch to phone.
Might as well check mine. We're good.
I'm on 41 minutes, so we're...
I'm on 46%.
Oof. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Well, and you know, you talked about people being disingenuous, and I think, and you mentioned social media and stuff like that, I think that's what social media has created. It's just tossing something out there, hopefully it sticks. If it doesn't work this time, it'll work on the next song in 2 months or whatever the hell it is. It's like, And it's not just for music, it's for everything. Like, people are just posting shit online just to post it. It's just like,
it sucks. It's like, appease the algorithm. Just like, yeah, get yourself out there. I don't need to fight any cyber overlord. Like, I don't need to do anything. Like, I'm just doing exactly what I do. Like, I could plan out a million things and stress myself out. If I want to drop like that, like I said, that video, that I kind of could drop it any day. I'm just like, oh, do I do it in a calculated way? Do I do it in a here's the video way? Which one is going to get me more views? And at the end of the day, doesn't matter if the people viewing it aren't going to give a shit about it. Like, you know, you could calculate the shit out of your move. You're not going to get more listeners unless you put a little feeling and heart into it and effort. I don't know, man. It's a weird concept.
And that's funny because we spent how many minutes trying to figure out when we should release all this stuff. And
exactly. For probably not the matter.
It doesn't matter, right? It's just like, let's do it when it feels right.
Yeah.
But this is like probably the most excited and again, we don't talk that often, right? But like, this is a different conversation than we had 3 years ago. You just seem a lot more excited about it. And as you should, I mean, after putting this much time into it.
Yeah.
Talk about the show at the V-Spot. I mean, are you the headliner?
Yeah. So I love Vinny to death. He is so real, the busiest.
Real quick, I mean, to headline at the V-Spot as like an original band, like
huge, right?
There's a lot to be said about that. I mean, there's a, I don't want to say it's a joke. It's like a real thing at times. Like, they say if you can play at the V-Spot, like, you can play anywhere. Like, you've made it. You know,
who says that?
I do.
I love it. You could sell that concept to Vinny. He'd put that on a shirt. I'd buy it. I'm not gonna lie, Vinny, if you're listening, on the off chance you listen to this, don't know what you're doing in your personal life, but get that Johnny Popko quote right on the bottom right there and pay him some royalties. I'd buy 20 of them.
Well, he's a big sponsor of the podcast. He's a big fan of the podcast. I don't know how much he listens, but he is a supporter, and I appreciate
it. I'll message him like, yo, listen to this. I'll timestamp it like right here. I gave you a huge shout out, dude. But I can't say more good things about Vinny. I love him to death. I wouldn't use the word frustrates. I had to beg Vinny for like weeks. I was like, Vinny, please, man, I show up. I'm here at the shows, dude. Like, I told you, like, I had a trouble going to shows for him. Like, yo, Vinny, I'm showing up. I'm in the scene. Please remember, I'm a person who exists. Sorry, I don't play that much. But Vinny's one of those guys that, like, he genuinely, like, not that he, like, knows so many people that he doesn't know people. He remembers people, and he remembers people he likes. I could not see Vinny for 8 months, and Vinny'd be like, Joe Lombardo, what the fuck is up, dude? And I'm just like, yo, Vinny, how we doing? I haven't seen you, but I was like, Vinny, come on. I promise you, please give me like a really good day. I'm begging for March. I got this plan. This is back in November. And he finally got me a show. And the one thing he said, which I'm glad he said it, because I'm hoping to become better friends with him. And even like Nick also in Starving Hysterical Naked and the boys in that band. The one thing Vinny said to me was, Joe, I'll give you the show March 8th. You just got to do one for me. Get the fucking pucker up girls on this show. And I'm like, dude, I was already thinking about it. So the V-Spot show is going to feature Starving Hysterical Naked, which Nick is also a part of. I believe they won Punk Act of the Year last year at the ECMCs. It is going to feature Pucker Up, who are the new big NEPA sensation.
They are.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I can't say enough good things about them and their music. I think it is something that, like you said, not that it's not being done, but like, I just love their sound. I love what they're doing. Like, I haven't heard that personally from a band around here.
No.
And I don't know ever. Like, it's one of those things that, like, I think it's awesome. I think that, like, they're very talented and they should hit this momentum. And I'm glad that they're playing out every single week. And I'm glad I got them on the show. And of course, last ones, Estacada are playing with us. Longtime fans of Estacada. I absolutely love the boys. I've been telling them for years. Like, I feel like a lot of people share this sentiment. I feel like, going back to Pucker Up, they posted on their story, like, the dads, our dads, when they were posting about their new song. I feel like sometimes they're the dads of the music scene to us. I quite literally hit the scene running right at 21, went to some shows, met the guys, and they were so genuine and so cool that, like, it's hard not to be their biggest fans. It's really hard not to be. You could see me like any S Dakota show that is happening that I'm at. I am right there in the front row screaming every single lyric. They truly are one of my favorite bands in this area. And I'm glad that they, again, give me the time of day to even like, oh, we'll play a show at the Robinson. Has played maybe three shows in a 4-year career. Like, oh, we'll give you the time of day. They're great. And I think it's an absolute killer lineup. I think it's one of those things that I'm glad we hit the ground running. I'm glad we got it going. I'm glad that that's, you know, the show that we kicked this off with. And like I said, I want it to be the start of the album cycle. The title on the poster said, "Welcome to Solitaire Mine, start of a new album cycle." That's what it is. Roundabout is the start of it.
You know, S Dakota just released a new song.
Yes. Fantastic.
A day or two ago, Escape Artists. So go stream that, go check that out. I think they released it, exclusively on
any PA scene.
It when this comes out, it might be available everywhere. But yeah, like those guys are great. And I'm going to say this about Jay and Daniel, just cause I know them, I'm closer to them, but like, yeah, those guys are just two of the most genuine dudes, like, you know, relatable to like, you know, Ekuzo. Like, it's just like, we have so many good people.
So
this,
genuine.
This scene. It's such a cool thing to be part of. And I love being able to do this, to be part of all of it. But that's a great lineup. I mean,
yeah, no,
I'm hoping to reach out to I reached out to Tanner a while ago when it was right before they even started like doing anything.
Yeah.
Because I love that. I mean, I don't know what to describe them as.
I think just like fast paced punk, like classic punk. Like, it's a lot of things, but I like their sound.
I do too. Like, I feel like I hear not the yeah, yeah, yeahs to a degree.
Yeah.
But like, it's just like reckless. And I love that. And
reckless is a good word to describe it. Like, it's very in your face. And that sometimes, again, like, it's a concept that could fall really flat if your delivery is not good. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, I haven't seen a band like hit you with that like very in your face stuff in a while. And that's like, that's something that I think this area needs. I think it's something that's really cool. And it's something they're not afraid to be themselves when they write. Like, that's a very interesting thing.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I hope it's not taken out of context or taken the wrong way. I mean, it's a female fronted band.
Female fronted is the buzzword we don't want to use all the time, but I get it. I know what
you mean. But like women in general, like when I see them, I use the word reckless. I am an announcer for King's College men and women's basketball.
Yeah.
So I watch a lot of women's basketball, and like, they're reckless. Like, they're just like in your face. They're just like, they're, and the same thing goes for like UFC fighters, women UFC fighters. Like, they're like, I like watching those fights more than I do the men's. Cause I feel like, and this is not a knock, they're almost less calculated. It's reckless. And I love it. I love it.
I love the energy they present. I think they're super cool.
And so that's what I'm getting at. It's like, it's not a bad thing. It's an amazing thing. It's like a liberating thing. I hope that like they're as proud as that of that is, you know, that I think it's awesome.
I wanted to make a connection with them. I was at the Bog for, I don't even know what it was. It might have been some recent passing holiday, maybe even New Year's or something like that. And I saw James Barrett chatting with one of the girls, and I was just like, James, introduce me. James, please introduce me. And I'm the best with talking. Like we've said multiple times, I'm a talker on this podcast. I've said it many times. Unless I know you, oh, I'm the worst. Until I get like that first like 15 minutes with you, I'm just like, hey, I'm really uncomfortable talking until you know who I am.
Yeah.
So that was just like, first, I really want to make a connection with them. I want to play more shows with them. I think they'd be awesome to play with. To sidetrack that, I want to talk about quick, because this isn't even announced yet. This is something I want to talk about here. I mentioned briefly, we're doing a show. I think it's April 10th at the Bog. It is going to be, I'm marketing it as just like a one-time event art show. It is going to be an art show of concept art that I made that I'm going to get. I'm just going to get stuff hanging in like picture frames. I might go to Salaval, get some cool looking picture frames, stuff like that. I made a bunch of art. I'm going to have some friends do some art. I'm going to have some friends take some pictures on film of things in this area. Going to have my friends doing an animation that I might even have like on a projector behind us when we're doing. But I'm going to have a traditional like art show of a bunch of my friends doing concept art, world building art for this whole coal mining town and the idea of the album. So that I didn't even announce that yet. I was going to do it probably with the release of the single just to carry some momentum with it. But on that lineup, that's April 10th. And we're going to have my one coworker who goes by the name Sovy, S-O-V-Y. He's going to open up for us. I think we're going to do bang out a quick full band set. We're going to have the Broke Pines play. James Barrett's going to do an acoustic set later in the night. And I'm going to finish off the night with an acoustic set of some more stripped back songs from the album. Like I said, those transitionary songs, those fun little story things. It's going to be a really really fun night of just like, you know, just friends hanging out. Like it's a pretty good lineup, people. I really wanted to focus on like diversifying who I play with nowadays. Like I want to play with the same bands I love and see, but I want to play with people that I haven't played before. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited. I know Dave and Jeremy from the Broke Pines, Dave used to work with me at Cinemark. He was my manager at the time. Then like I was manager also, and we were coworkers together. They used to play in Jung Burgo, if you remember that. Yep. That little thing they did. I think they still do it. I'm not sure, but I know they're doing that is like a main thing right now. It's pretty cool. I like their music. Like Sean is great. His voice is awesome. He does the folk Americana thing better than most people ever. Like I really enjoy him. It's going to be a great time. So that's something I wanted to save to announce on this. It should be a really awesome show that, again, pushing it as like an art show, pushing it as it's a creative thing. Like it's not like obviously don't buy the art. It's not stuff like that. But it's going to be, again, I think this concept, like from everything I said, if you take away from this, it's not like a one-off thing. It's not like, I'm just going to put out the story and it's done. It's a living, breathing thing. I'm building a world that would make more sense if you were at the art show or at least knew about the art show or saw stuff that was featured at the art show that I'm going to post later on that people could see. You know, it's world building. It really is. I'm welcoming people to come along for the ride to see it. That's more or less what the entire setup for this album is.
I love that. I love all of it. I love the concept. I love the vision behind it. Yeah. You mentioned you had a few shows booked already this year, the V-Spot and then the show, The Bog.
Yeah.
Anything past that?
There's a couple things for people that haven't been announced yet. So I'm going to keep those on the down low, but I'm definitely, I'm not going to lie. I talked people about it. I really want to play the Ritz. I'm not going to lie. I really am hearing some hype about the Ritz. I want to get a show maybe there. I was, I don't know who I've talked to about it, but I've been saying for years that I want to do a show at Curry Donuts. I see people do Curry Donuts shows all the time. I know it's a lot of hardcore bands sometimes, so I might not fit the bill, but like, I would love to play there. I think it would be such a cool thing if I could swing a summer show. I don't know who I have to talk to. And if anyone wants to message me about who to talk to, I'd love to get some feedback.
I feel like people at Axelrad would know who to talk to.
Yeah. If you want to get some information, I really want to do that. I think that.
Well, you know what, Joe? Talk to your sales rep.
Oh, this guy. You could be my sales rep. I'm telling you. I've got a new design to you soon.
You passed on me. Nope. I'm done.
How you doing, Nick?
I'm kidding.
I feel like I've been talking this whole time. I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's been great, man.
Well, a lot to talk about.
One thing I wanted to ask Nick. 3 years ago, we talked about the possibility of a cryptid full-length album.
Yeah.
Nothing happened?
No.
Is the band no more? What's going on with the cryptid?
No, I mean, it's not that we're no more. I think the cryptid at this point is more of a studio project. We're coming up on 4 years, I think, the last time we played, and we've talked a few times since, you know, about getting back together and doing, you know, this and that. We've all individually written our own songs here and there and, you know, have a collection of them, but we just haven't had the time necessarily because of, you know, life and, you know, multiple bands and all that stuff. When me and Ryan have the Taxman, me and Ryan and Pat, sorry, I'll have the tax men. So it's been very busy over the last few years since the last cryptid thing. But it's not totally out of the possibility of being a thing. It's just, I don't know if we'll play a lot of shows, but definitely record albums and stuff like that, maybe somewhere in the future.
Okay. Well, I hope it's not another 3 years before that happens.
Well, I hope not too, but I mean,
you're busy. I get it.
I'll tell you a little side story to this. Nick, I've told Nick this before. My fiance Tara is the biggest fan of the cryptid. And I've said many times, like, yo, Nick, I'll join the cryptid right now. I'll take over on bass. We could do it. And I don't know. I keep hyping them up. I want to be the same way that I was the vessel for them to experience this concept album. I'd love to just take a seat back and just boom, 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 boom around the bass. Of course, Nick would probably write it for me. Nick is, I wouldn't say Nick is the, like, the crazy about it, but Nick is very so good at writing bass lines for the Robinsonade that I'd probably just let him write the bass lines and I'd play them. Like, I would just, because he's so good at it. He's too good at it.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
I said the other day, everyone in the Robinsonade is way better at being a musician than me. I simply am just the person who write the songs. And I don't, that's not insulting to me. I'd rather just be, I said it before. I don't have the charisma to be a front man, just mic only. I think I have to have guitar or I look like an idiot. But ideally, I would love for me just to be a front man and just be like only having to do the lyrics. Like, God, if I didn't have to play an instrument, I think I could fucking like lose my mind, do something. Oh, low power mode. My batteries.
Well, that's okay. We can wrap things up. I mean,
you're good.
We covered everything.
Yeah.
You know, that we needed to cover. Dude, I think that's what makes it work, though, is like, you know,
yeah,
you say you're not as good of a musician as these other guys are, and maybe that's true, right? But like the fact that the ability that you have to create these lyrics and these stories and see it from point A to point Z, like that's special. I mean, and that's why, I mean, there's certain people who are good at certain things. That's why, and there's people who could be coal miners and people who can't.
Yeah, not me.
You know, and it's just,
I can write a story about them, not the job itself. It's crazy.
One thing I wanted to ask you, because we did talk about this earlier, and I wanted to give a shout out, and I don't know if it's a relation. We talked about Pittston and the revitalization of Pittston. And
yes, that's, my uncle is the mayor.
Okay, your uncle is Mayor Michael Lombardo. He has done amazing things for the city of Pittston. I wanted to give him a shout out. It's an amazing thing. I mean, I remember I had family who used to live in Pittston. It's not Parsons Street. It's the street before that. So I was, as a little kid, I would pass Pittston Lumber, which got torn down. Thankfully, because that was an eyesore, but it was dumpy when I was a little kid. And then when I first started seeing my wife, which was 2008, I would drive, she lived in Pittston too. So I would drive down Main Street. It was just a dump. And it's just amazing to see. And
yeah,
what's happened over the past, you know, 15 years.
No, it really pulls
years.
Together that Dollar General on the Main Street. That Dollar General, fantastic.
Well, you know?
Have you ever made it unless you have a Dollar General? Come on.
Dollar General side. I mean, we're seeing some great things happen.
No, I love it. Even just like the opportunity. I wanted to also shout this out because I wanted to make sure I did. The Pittston Dental right there with the coal miner's mural on it that they allowed me to do the acoustic video there. It's very like, again, it's a part of the town. I made allusion to my life very much mirrors it, but it's hard not to see my life as like through the lens of this town. Like it is like, you know, like you said, everyone should go down that coal mine and see what the hell went down in there. Like, yeah, that's, it's like hard to think about. It's hard to separate not even the life from the artist, but like, where is it? Where does like, you know, it stop that like, I don't know anyone in my family specifically who are coal miners, but someone had to have been a coal miner of you know, my family at some point. Someone paved the way for it.
My wife's mother's father was a coal miner.
Yeah, that's entirely it. Like everyone has someone.
But like, we can't or should never complain about anything.
No.
Like, oh, my boss was mad at me because I was at, you know, I came to work at 8:31 instead of 8:30. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, I mean, that shouldn't be that petty, but like, I mean, think about what you could be doing.
Again, not to, we don't have to go into any deeper concepts of the album because we're going to end this, but like, that's even the thing. Like, I talk about like the shady business practices time. It wasn't that they were just coal miners. It was, they were indebted to the towns they lived
in
because they gave them monopoly cash. Like, oh, you can only spend this at our store.
Right.
Everything's overpriced and we undervalue your shit.
Yeah.
So like, it was like, they truly were not even enough money to leave, not even enough money to survive it. Like, it's a weird thing that like they talk about like the coal patches of Pennsylvania and why we get these little like towns that have, you know, 400 dedicated people living there, and that's just it. Like, they're like, oh, I lived my entire life here, I don't know anything else. Like, that's
right.
That's the entirety of it. Like, we're living in like Appalachia. That's where we are, the coal belt of the area. And like, unfortunately, things like the mine disasters, the Knox mine disaster 5 minutes from my house that I have to think about all the time, like, is just a history of this area. It really is. I made again, this is stuff that like, if we want to talk about nuance, if you want me to give you a little stinger to leave you with, like,
No. Fuck.
Oh, you good?
Oh yeah. Okay. Ooh. Ooh.
You good? Ooh. There's three distinct sections of the song. There's the intro, like the setup of the concept, the middle coal mining part section, that is just to dip your toes into what we're doing here. Like, I'm not like, again, I'm not, oh, I'm a coal miner, I swing my axe. It's we went down every day in a fucked up kind of way. We went down every day after 12 more died today. That's self-referencing back to the 12 miners that died in the Knox mine disaster. There's like, I'm not even lying to you, I spent like a whole summer watching coal mining documentaries and doing research just to like sneak little things like that in there. It's so stupid. Like, no one had to do this. No one had to do this to make this album. But like, I chose little details like that, like 12 more died today specifically. It made a good line, but it's also history. It's the 12 miners that died in the Knox mine disaster.
It's a little bit of an educational journey too.
Yeah. It's like funny in that way. It's almost comical. It's like a play. It's literally a comedy, a play.
One thing I couldn't get over is like, my son's like, why did the kids have to work in the mines? And it's like, oh, if the father or whatever got hurt, like, they sent the kids because in order to keep their homes that they were living in, they had to work. It's like, okay, well, I can't work. So if you want to be homeless, like, get down there and work. I was like, that's crazy.
There's, again, going into like me doing research, you don't know how many people like that were like families or children that lived in these mining towns are like, oh yeah, one day we found out my dad died by them throwing his body on our front porch. And that's like literally what they did. Like, that's, and they're like, oh, you have 30 days to either get remarried or leave this house and start your life over. That's right. What they would do to the widows and kids. Like, that's not at all fiction. That's a real thing that they would do to these people in the coal mining towns.
And again, it's not that long ago.
Nope. It's quite literally like industry in Pennsylvania left in the 1950s. Like, that's when like things really, really started dying, when like Knox happened.
And I think the one in Scranton was functional until 1967, maybe? I forget the exact year.
Yeah, around that time, that's when everything just started going because of these issues and like shady business practice and people just like, you know.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah. Cool history lesson. Well, fun history lesson.
Well, I love it, dude. Like, it's such a cool, say, concept. I'm excited to hear it in full. I'm excited to hear the nuances and just the real history and some of the lyrics. And it's like no one here anyways that I know of is doing stuff like this. So it's like, this really sets you apart, and not that you need to be different than anybody else, but like, it sets you apart in a way. Than other people. And it's just like, it's amazing.
Thank you. That's so. I love the opportunity to be on this podcast, talk about it, because like, you know, like I said, I talked for, if this podcast went on for like an hour or so, I talked for maybe like fully an hour and 10 minutes of it. There's so much that again, three and a half, almost 4 years now I've been working on this. Like, this is the reality of it. I said, I want to make this album, and I wasn't going to half-ass it like I did the other one. That's all I said to myself. I got into a writer's block. I wrote the writer's block into a song. I compounded that song into that whole first song that is now Roundabout. I play the same two chords the entirety of Roundabout. I was stuck on that for like 6 months. I knew it was what I wanted to do. I knew it was the opening song. It felt right to me. So I just took the writer's block and flipped it over. I literally just overcame any circumstance of me doubting it and just followed through on it. That was the only thing I pushed myself to do, really. Follow through on the idea and don't half-ass it.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for the Robinson 8 in 2024 and beyond. March 8th, the V-Spot. Depending on when this comes out, the song Roundabout could be out, available, streaming everywhere.
March 1st.
March 1st. I don't know
when this comes out. Yep.
We'll figure that out. Joe, I'm going to let you sleep on it, and then I want you to wake up tomorrow morning and you figure out. You say, hey, John, I manifested this in my dreams. I want it to be this date.
The algorithm showed me. They said, you got to release it at 12:43 on Tuesday afternoon, or you're going to get zero views.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it'll come to me. The algorithm will speak to me tonight.
Yeah, I want it to come to you in your dreams. Think of me when you sleep.
I always do. You don't have to tell me that. Think about you. I think about Vinny from the V-Spot. Nick's in the dreams a couple times, but that's about it.
Yeah. Well, you said you talk a lot during these, but this is what it's about. I mean, this is a chance for you to talk about all of these things. That's why I wanted to create this platform, was to have people on to talk about not only their music, but just life in general. So thank you for taking the time. Thank you for your interest in being part of it. And I'm looking forward to all of it, man.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to show people. More than anything, it's like that biting of the lip. I'm excited to show people, and I'm excited that, you know, whether it goes good or bad, like I said, I am more proud of myself for doing it. It's like it is such a labor of love at a certain point that it makes me happy. And even like if it flops, even if it's nothing, I am really confident in what I did. And I think that I'll go into my later life and knowing that even if this is the last thing I ever write, it was really good. I think I wholeheartedly put my soul into it. I think it's fun.
It's literally a work of art. So, you know, congrats to you, and I'm excited for all of it. Nick, I hope I can hear the new Cryptid in about 3 years or so. But in the meantime, we'll enjoy the Taxman and Starving Hysterically Naked, or Hysterical Naked. Starving Hysterical Naked.
Okay.
And then whatever else you want to put your hands on. As long as it's not me.
Sounds good. Nah, we're good.
Just don't touch me. All right, guys. Thanks for your time. I really appreciate it. And hope we'll see y'all soon.
Take care, Jack.
All right. Later.